This is Steve Sherlock with Franklin Matters number 146. This internet show or podcast is number 146 in the series for Franklin Matters. This recording is of the Economic Development Committee meeting that was held on Wednesday, September 5, 2018. The meeting began about 6 p.m. in the third floor training room. The meeting was delayed in starting as it was missing a quorum. As background, there are four town councilors that make up the formal voting membership. Councilors Mercer, Jones, Hamblin, and Earls. Quorum for the four requires three present. Mercer and Hamblin were on time. Jones was scheduled to arrive late, and when he did, the meeting began. Earls was out of town and did participate remotely in the town council meeting later Wednesday evening. The published agenda for this meeting can be found online. There were four topics covered in the meeting. One, the plot line and zoning changes were quickly discussed and moved to the town council for referral to the planning board. Second one, Tony Padula, the planning board chair, raised a discussion item on the change of a commercial zone to residential and thereby imposing some buffer requirements upon the existing abutters. After the discussion, the action was taken by planning to come up with some wording for review at a future meeting, targeting for the next EDC meeting on October 3rd. The third item, Jeff Nutting provided an update on prior efforts for the small lots of town-owned land that were sold via auction. Some were successfully sold, some had no bidders, and Franklin retains that ownership. How much effort should be given to the sale of these is basically the question. The consensus was to include them in the next group of similar properties, but not more than that, as the value is negligible. Given the time left for the meeting, due to the late start, the item number four on the agenda was skipped, and an overview on the proposed sign discussion, which was item number five, was provided. The meeting itself runs about 36 minutes, so without further ado, here is the audio recording.
Okay, time being shortly thereafter.
5:45, call the Economic Development Committee meeting to order. First order of business, lot line changes, proposal.
Mr. Chair, for the record, recording.
For the record, Franklin Matters is recording.
So this is just another series of cleaning up lot lines along King and Thomas Street to try and work on. Just fill in the lots to the appropriate zone.
There's really nothing.
No, just bringing lot lines to property lines. I mean, zoning lines to property lines.
And parcels that are two or three get turned into one. And I don't think there's anything controversial at all. I mean, basically, Wentwood land use, which is almost all residential, and depending on the size of the lot and what the frontage is.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any questions?
Whatever you want.
I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying, because Jeff, we have another one coming anytime you want.
Yeah, so we just kind of spread them out.
Yeah.
Doing a whole mess at once.
Is this the same thing that was going to be in the council meeting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, just referral. Yep. All we do is refer to the
right,
council.
Right. Yeah.
Anybody have any questions or
the
comments?
Just a procedural question. Would the residents kind of be notified?
They will during the public hearing.
Public hearing
for the planning board. Yeah.
Right.
I happen to be involved, and I haven't heard any notification other than watching this. I was like,
ooh.
We sent everybody a letter, but just it.
Of course.
We knew you would be here, so you just saved the
postage. Yeah. Absolutely. I appreciate the
save taxpayer dollars. Yeah.
The taxes are going to double.
Yeah. Then, if there are no questions, I'd entertain a motion to move this to council for a referral to the board.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. Discussion. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay. Discussion item number two, residential development impact.
Let's only
bring
this letter to him so
that
he can speak on it.
Okay. Tony, all yours. I had some concerns. I recently had a proposal come into the board, and I had some concerns about screening. I had Ryan help me with this proposal. He did a great job on it. If you want, wish me to read it, I'll read it before I go over.
Just highlight it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe just highlight the...
Okay, here's the deal. And we everybody's aware of the a project that just got turned down. Not that it's the one and only, but I think that when we have a zoning change that increases density, and that we are abutting something that's commercial or already in place, that we should provide some screening. I think it's a responsibility of not just the last person on deck, but if we have in this situation, we have a place that has been in operation for over 16 years. It employs two shifts of people. And now they're asked to provide screening for a more dense residential development than was in place in the beginning. I think some consideration needs to be had by either the applicant, that's the last person developing, or consideration from both parties. The zoning change on this particular piece of property, I feel, and I think that a lot of things weren't considered when the density was increased to a different zone. Traffic, I don't think, was considered. The proximity to the set of lights, to the intersection, the properties that are abutting, the way he was going to have to develop it, and dropping the topography of the property, which increased more noise going through the property to other neighborhoods. I don't think all that was considered when the zoning change was made to increase the density on that particular piece of property. But with that said, I think we need to adopt, or at least consider adopting, a plan to provide more screening, sound deadening screening, like the people who are developing on Dean Avenue. That's a perfect example.
So is that? Yeah. So I mean, is that something the planning board can just put in their decision, or are you looking for some kind of bylaw change?
I think we need a zoning bylaw change. I can't ask for it on a special permit.
Well, that's true.
If it's not in zoning, okay, I can't require it.
That's correct.
Because it just goes beyond. But it is definitely a consideration. It was a consideration.
So it would be a language change.
Right. It was a consideration on Dean Avenue. It had to be because of the trains, because of the noise and the bounce factor for the noise bouncing back and forth.
Would your proposal is any development
that's immediately adjacent to?
It'd be a two-way street, because I know if you're industrial and you're building next to residential, then you have an obligation.
Well, you have an obligation,
zoning.
But
you do. I think under the zoning.
But in this case,
can I ask what the zoning? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
What is the zoning rules now for the different developments?
As of right now, when you have a residential development next to an industrial, it doesn't matter which is coming first, it always falls on the industrial property to provide mitigation to noise and any other impacts.
Okay.
All right, so if in the case of what Tony is mentioning, we had a long-standing industrial user there for 15 years, and now, after all of this time, a dense residential development towards the back of their property is going to, that residential development now will be impacted by the industrial user, which was not the case previously.
Right.
So how do you
ask the industrial guy to do something?
Excuse me, Brian, but you have to realize that this particular industrial user, just say this case, if he has to put up some sort of mitigation for sound to stop his sound, does it pay for him to stay there, or should he just move? Mm-hmm. Instead of assuming the cost solely on him to stop this noise.
Right.
I mean,
when
he was there, the zoning was duplexes next to him. There was no complaints. No one complained about noise. There was a furniture place. There was a in place, but there was no real complaints about noise or impact. Of course, you got the train there blowing the whistle every time across the intersection there. But which you can't stop. You have you just can't control that. But these people have flower deliveries at night because they do have two shifts, and they pump the flower in. So it's not an extraordinary noise, but it's this. What can happen is the developer on this residential development, because the zoning was changed, he can go in there and say, put up his development, and then go running to the state and say, oh, they're in violation. You go in there and close them down. Without even going to the town,
okay.
Because there was nothing in place to provide mitigation for the noise. Joe?
In simple words, I think Tony's trying to explain is, if there's a commercial industrial development and somebody comes in, it's in the bylaws that we have to provide screening setbacks adjacent to residential. I think what Tony's asking for is a residential developer comes in for profit to build a residential neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He can build right up to that lot line and doesn't have to put any screening in. And I think what Tony's looking for is they should abide by some type of screening and setbacks from another
street.
Rather than have them come right against the property line and be 10 feet from a guy's back door.
Then blame you.
It's like the farms. Hey, if the farm's been there 100 years, a guy moves in with a house and
it's like moving in next to a gun range. Right.
some semblance of order here.
All right, so my thought is that we could include something in the zoning bylaws that are when to a residential and a commercial indoor industrial abut each other. The buffer has to be considered more so. Right now, we don't even really have that much in our wording. But if you're residential next to a residential, nobody's going to, that's the way it is. But if you actually are going to develop a residential property next to an industrial existing or the other way around, then you need to consider the neighborhood that you're in and what's happening. And I think buffering on both parcels is appropriate. So
I would agree.
It's
Melanie, how do you?
So we'll draft the language.
So
it's completely,
everybody okay?
Completely logical. I'm actually shocked we didn't already have something in place. Yeah. That's
great point.
My concern is that I at least get this read, or the concerns read, in the minutes of the council meeting. If I could just get the concerns, so at least it's on the table before anything comes before me.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, because you have to draft the language, the council doesn't, and then you guys have to agree
it already refers, if they could just refer to this zoning bylaw. That
I don't know if it meets the legal standard. Did you talk to anybody?
No.
I think once you file something with the council, the clock stops. So the earliest you could do is the next meeting if everybody agreed on the language, which is the 26th.
Yeah. Could I just have a little clarification on that language? I'm in support of this when a residential zoned piece of land is abutting a commercial industrial, for them to have share. But if you have four parcels of C1 property, and someone decides to buy one in the middle, but two homes are on both sides. In C1, I can build right up on one side to the property line. There is no setbacks, and there is no screen. and I'd like to see that stay in place, because that's mostly along the business corridor.
Yeah, I don't.
A commercial, if the issue would be a commercial industrial zone.
Zones, not uses.
To a residential zone.
Zoning, not uses.
Say again?
Zoning, not uses. So if I have a C1, yeah, that's a problem.
C1 has a mixture right now.
That's right.
That's a gas station.
But if there's a C1 with a residential lot, and the person's been there 30 years, and someone comes in wants to develop.
All of the zones, by the way, have other uses in it than what's currently allowed, so you end up with that. But when things, two zones abut that have the potential for conflict.
Correct.
That's where you would have the, maybe double upping buffer, the buffer that are existing, or, I don't know, we'll work on some wording, but.
Is it something that you could put wording together?
We already worked on something, but I wasn't happy with it at the time, but then we did the letter and.
Is it something that would be feasible to get to us for the 26th?
Well, we can't.
I'm just asking.
We can't meet on the 26th, but Jamie and I.
Well, we
get to the council.
We'd have to pick another date.
Okay.
Because we have a budget, so with the schools and the FinCom.
I think I have too much going before the 26th to take one more on, but for the following town
meeting?
Council, I know.
October 10th.
Yeah.
October 10th. And we do have, you and I are available the 3rd, too, that Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Just the week before.
But if we could do
bump it up a week and you want to go off council schedule?
Well, yeah, I guess my question is, do we?
Even if you had a special meeting or something.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Then we have to vet it, and then it's got, I mean.
Well, I guess that's my point. Do we need enough, do we need more than the hour that we get before?
No, I'm saying if you met on the 3rd.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Do we need to do that?
5:45, and then take that meeting to vet.
Yeah.
And then get the next week.
Okay.
Just clarification on a buffer. What would be the definition of buffer?
I don't know. You're going to have to.
Gus?
We have industrial performance controls now, and the way it reads is noise, sound, odor, whatever, shall be perceptible without instruments more than 400 feet of the boundaries of the originating premises within the industrial district, or more than 200 feet inside the boundaries of commercial or business, or more than 100 feet inside the boundaries of residential district. So couldn't you take that and reverse it? That's the right word, and make it so that the requirements to build a residential subdivision or development that you're proposing that's abutting industrial has to meet this, has to be at least 100 feet away from.
Well, that's my question I'm going to get to.
But it's already written. You would take it and maybe add to it.
Well, my question is, what if a developer comes in and they want to spend $500,000 on a beautiful sound wall versus giving up 100 feet of property? So, in other words, something to mediate the issues.
So there is something.
Now, that would be a special permit decision.
Correct.
Under the board, if they wanted to mediate, to do something to mediate. But we need something in place to say, you need to control.
Some type of buffer.
You need
to
start from.
Right.
I need a place, then we can work.
Then you can deal with the special.
We don't want to give up 100 feet of property if a guy's willing to put a sound.
Sure, understood.
I don't want to take anything away from the planning board, but there's already something in here that allows me to let it, for lack of a better word, to let it be in compliance if I feel that they've made some mitigation to stop the sound, the noise, the odor, or whatever.
Yeah, but still, they can still go to the state and say that noise levels are way too high.
Now they fight with the state, though.
Yeah, but we need to try our best to close the business down. That's my concern.
I don't think you can have this whole debate tonight.
Right.
Maybe not, but exactly. We can try to come up with something for the next time.
Yeah. My concern is I don't want to go. I mean, in the first place, I just feel that changing the zoning from duplex to what we have now, what's there now, I think that more thought should have been put into it, number one, but it's already in place now, so the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see people lose their jobs that have been there for 16 years. We've got a growing business. It's not bothering anybody. It's there. We got two shifts of workers, and I don't want to see them lose their jobs because the place can't afford to stay there because of these developments coming in place.
I understand.
Right.
And agree.
All right, Brian, if you could work on that and let's...
I'll talk with Jeff on timing and we'll come up with something.
I know,
like a kid in a candy store.
For sure. Let's shoot for the 3rd, just so that it gives us enough time to vet it if we needed more than the hour and still get it on to the first council meeting in October.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Tony, for bringing that up. Sale of town-owned land, number 3.
So if you remember, Mr. Chairman, at the annual, the biannual council goals, somebody mentioned sale of town land, and I don't remember what it was, but a year ago, Jim Dacey, before more than that, I guess it's 2 years, Jim Dacey went through a long process and held a public auction for a boatload of land. Almost all of it was de minimis little either wetlands or leftover subdivision piece that developed little stubs, and we sold 7 or 8 or 9 of those parcels, and the rest we retained because A, no one was interested, and B, we wanted to keep some because it abutted conservation land or it abutted recreation land, and it's easier to put those in there. So at this point, I'm at a loss we own a little land behind Walgreens, but that's like a really weird lot. And there's a right of way that goes through it. So I'm at a loss as to what people wanna, I don't think there's any public land at this point that would wanna sell, that the auction didn't try to sell.
It's a very extensive process. It's
and
all
then
Kerry, outlined
in Kerry is now, has 4 or 5 more parcels of land, it's called land of low value. And before you can sell it, the Department of Revenue has to approve it. And we've been waiting 10 months now on 4 parcels. But again, these are, you know, it might be 4,000 square feet or something. There's nothing.
$2,000 or.
And then, you know, once in a while we have a road stub that someone wants in a development, but the corporation went out of business 40 years ago, so you have to go through this long process to. So, barring any specifics, I don't see if there's a need for anything.
Questions, comments? I mean, I would agree. The only thing, the only question I would have is if we had done all that work 5 years ago, or however long ago it was, right. The pieces that didn't sell, that right. We tried to sell, if the work has all been done on that, is that worth trying that again?
Well, if we did it, we'd probably wait till we get all the other parcels that are in the queue, because you don't want to do it twice. It's okay. Very extensive. You got to go through all this
legal stuff.
And but you know, again, these were half more wet.
Yeah.
And half more little leftover pieces. Right. And you know, we reached out to all the neighbors. Did you want to buy it? You know,
yeah, sent letters.
It's $500 or something just to get it back on the tax roll.
Yeah. My only thought is over a period of time.
Well, Kerry's
working on
it.
It was a couple of years, but well, you know, over a period of time, people sell their houses, different owners come in,
right.
Might have a different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, there was no worth.
That's all.
There was nothing worth anything.
I have a question to Jim.
It's not a big revenue source.
All these like abandoned paper roads that were never developed.
No kidding. We did a whole mess of them.
I mean, I own a parcel, and there's a little strip that's next to me that I could add on and put grass on.
You know, I'd have to ask Mark. I don't know because
What do you do with
them? They're all over the place. They're at the end of Lewis Street,
Wachusett,
up by what's his face, the.
They're off of Summer Street.
Edwards, I got one that goes.
Yeah, they're
over.
Everywhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What? How
I
do you obtain
know.
Those?
I don't know. Yeah. Let me ask Mark. I have no idea.
Is that long term down the road? Are these paper roads something that we should try and identify?
We have them all on a map.
Yeah. On a list, but in a list.
Oh yeah, we can. I don't know if we can.
Who owns them?
You own the
two abutters.
Right, the two abutters own to the middle of the road.
Right.
So you each own a half of it.
That's correct.
So can that owner just go on that property and use it?
Yes. No, you have to leave a right to pass.
Right.
Right, because two people own it, and then there's two people behind it.
Right.
They have a right to pass.
What if they all sign off?
Well, then that, you know, if someone made a deal with four property owners, whatever the issue is, and then, but you still have to meet the subdivision requirements. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a I mean, we have the issue on Long Hill.
Yeah, the one on Wachusett, most of these roads are impassable, so you can't.
Well, if you just want to add it to your property for square footage.
So that's the other.
Maybe you
depends
wanna,
if that's.
Does that may affect your setback on a garage?
We don't own it.
Right.
We're not the property owner.
So you don't
that's
own it.
No, way. They're just laid out in a plan. They're owned by the abutters.
Right.
We have no ownership in it.
And some would actually have a specific property owner, whether it's a neighborhood association or a person that owned the whole thing before and is still in their name, but.
Is there a reason that the town would want to keep them as paper
we don't
roads?
Own them. I don't know. Like
to keep them as paper roads, why not?
I'll give you a good example. Vinny Badgers' family off at Chestnut, you know, there's a paper road
yeah.
and like 5 feet lots or whatever, and they've just been there forever, and they're all in a swamp. they're never going to get developed, but it's a private property matter. So I don't know if there's even a legal, I mean, if they're recording the registry of deeds as property, I don't think we can do anything about it.
Okay, it was just
if someone filed a plan 1942 for a subdivision and it's recorded, or I'll ask Mark, I don't know all the ins and outs, but I'll find out. Okay,
other than that, any other questions on town owned? I think we got our answers. Okay, number four.
So as you know, we have a brewery zoning, and then again, someone mentioned once that they wanted to extend the zone down to, I think it was Hillside, but I think it's a bad idea. We created that special zone.
Country store.
Country store.
Rural mm-hmm. business.
And all the neighbors were against it. Not all, but
most.
Yeah.
But they haven't done anything in 5 years, and
yeah.
I don't think it's the time to add fuel to the fire.
There's already enough.
Where is the brewery district
now?
So it's all non-residential districts.
All non-residential.
All non-residential.
It's country.
Right.
Can have a
right
brewery.
Now. Yeah, except all non-residential and not including in the rural business zone down on Washington Street.
Plus
the hillside. So it's pretty much.
No, I'd say let it go.
Yeah, right. So
schools and.
Yeah.
You know,
within a setback.
It's all in industrial.
Cool.
Yeah, it's all office.
A brewery school.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good idea.
I mean, I think Brian's office, our office, we've gotten a lot of interest from people. I think it's just the right, you know, the right parcel, has the right
yeah.
location, the right building, the right
I mean,
time.
Really,
you know,
things
that just
downtown, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Or
along, that's
you
know, ideally,
along,
or within
what, right.
the perimeter.
Yeah. Right, on Cottage Street or on
Fletcher Street.
140,
right.
somewhere.
Right, yeah. So I think that's.
Fisher. Over by
whatever, I'm just saying that.
I guess I don't see any specific need or request that would warrant us to move it out there for any reason.
Keep
anybody?
Keep it in downtown.
Okay. Boy, are we doing well. I've seen many off these agendas.
I think maybe in 5 or 6 minutes, we can just go through this sign thing and then
okay,
finish it up at the next meeting.
All right. I was just going to say, if we could get a...
So just a sense of it. The summary signs, we were going to change language that you could continue to have a temporary sign for up to 30 days after your permanent sign was installed. Because you were concerned that it would get held up. So
right.
you put your new sign up, but you keep a temporary sign if you want to for up to 30 days, you know, grand or whatever it says. And that alleviates the issue of any potential delay. Because you already have your permanent sign up.
Okay.
Under the original thing, it wasn't going to be that way.
Right. And the temporary sign goes up, obviously, before the permanent, you know.
Right.
But it's just that the deadline for that temporary to come down with 30 days after the permanent.
Okay. Right.
That was in case we didn't, you couldn't get your sign in time.
Right, or the
right.
design
exactly.
thing or something
yeah,
got
something
held
happened,
up.
Something
happened. So, I mean, if people agree with the general concept, when you write that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay with that?
Worded to say new businesses, right?
Versus what? You know, Shaw's can't.
Yeah, I took.
It's just
this wording
just
is a
yeah.
very quick summary of about three paragraphs. So I mean,
right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put a bullet in there with you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the next one is construction up to 80 square feet. You can have a sign that says that's 8x10, you know, the Acme.
That's
thing.
Kind of a reflection of what they're building, kind of like what
right,
we're talking
but,
about.
Yeah, so Joe, we didn't want to give it unlimited, but we didn't want to give it too small, so we thought if you had, then we said, okay, a 6-foot fence or an 8-foot fence, and it's 100
well,
feet long.
What's a two-section fence anyways? What are you talking
well,
about?
Well,
it
depends
16
if
feet?
Six by eight
well,
it
depends
yeah.
if it's eight or six.
Yeah.
Right? But eight, but it would be 10x8 or...
Yeah.
That's, you know, so 8 feet tall by 10 feet
yeah.
or 6 feet long by X. We're just coming up with a number that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay.
It still can be wrapped in a thing.
Well, that's the thing, kind of back to our point when we were talking about before. If you have, like, you get, like, 30 foot of frontage and you have a fence up there while you're building the construction, it's okay to wrap, for instance, the whole thing in white,
wrap,
but you could have X amount of it as a display.
Right, if you have, you know, you're building... a giant building and you have 2,000 feet of fence because
mm-hmm.
you're around a big site.
You don't want every square foot of
right,
that.
Right.
right. That's my
so
point.
We're trying
is
to
like,
come up with something good said.
I definitely agreed with Joe in regards right. to what that particular fencing looks like downtown. I think it does kind of give
right.
everyone an idea of what's what to look forward
so
to.
We'll
and so I think
correct.
That's
okay.
Joe.
Just clarification of signage.
Right.
As far now, would that be wording? Because myself personally, if the guy had 30 feet of that blue tarping,
right.
but it was a mural of what's being built with the landscaping and the people walking, I mean, is that considered signage?
No,
though?
No. It was all going to say One Stop Auto.
No.
Yeah. Every sign.
No. And I agree with the fact you can't put the bank's name on and advertise the cabinet guy. You know,
imaging,
I understand that.
Imaging
but
is considered square footage for signage.
Imaging?
Yes.
Is considered?
Yes.
So you get this small little.
Right.
You drive by, you don't even get to see the vision.
But that's what I was talking about. Is you can still wrap the property and say, for instance, a white part, and then portions of the white part can be the signage.
Which would only come down to 20% of the screening, which if you got 40 feet, you're down to just this little piece of plywood looking signage. It just, I don't know.
Well, you could debate, you know, it's better than nothing. And,
I guess.
You know.
But while it's here, it's going to be forever. So, I mean, you want to do it right.
I think larger companies are apt to do it, smaller guys.
But they can't. Larger people can't do it. No
right.
one's going to be able to
do
it.
Go crazy.
You're going to go to an industrial
right.
park and you're going to see
there's no,
a 4x8.
There's one lot left. No one's going to care about the industrial park. It's more about downtown.
Yeah. But I agree with, I think it was said 20% or the fence or another square footage, whichever is smaller.
So, yeah.
So it limits it right down to the...
But if you, who's going to put a fence up that's 8 feet, I mean, if you're fencing the whole area, it doesn't say it's street frontage, does it?
No.
I mean, you got a fence down the side, a fence down the back, you know, you could have a lot of fence, but the
front. But it's 20% or there's a number there.
80 feet.
80 feet.
No more, which
80 square feet.
Right.
Right.
Which
right.
comes down to
8x10.
The size
eight,
of that piece
right.
of wood right there about.
Eight by 10.
It's that wall there.
It's small. It's 8x10. 8
right.
foot of the fence and 10 feet long.
The ceiling's
nothing.
10 feet.
You drive by a blink of an eye, you don't see nothing.
What do you want?
Hmm?
What do you want?
Have you been out in the real world and seen where these people are going?
Yeah, you see
the. I mean, the restaurants that are coming around these nights, all I hear about is how we want
to
be like other communities.
But the 4 lease in front of Star Market there, you have to look at that when you come off of 495 every day.
Right.
It's there permanently. It's just
going weird. Off track. I'm talking temporary construction signage that shows the beauty of the product being built and would bring life to downtown, if people interested, there's people already on these websites looking to find out what's really going on uptown, that new construction. What are they building?
That's mm-hmm. different. Why, how come we don't have a separate sign just for our...
That's all I'm talking about, is just
mean,
for new construction.
A temporary poster. Shouldn't that be like a banner sign or a poster sign?
It's screening, construction screening.
Maybe I can touch it. I know, maybe I can do the last 30 seconds because I think I basically
okay.
answer this, okay? So you put up a this construction screening. It's more of a canvas or a plastic or whatever, right? If you have a base color of light blue, for instance, all right, that doesn't count towards the sign if it's just the base color.
Correct.
So you can have the whole thing this certain color. And then a 4-foot by 20-foot section, if you will, can actually be the sign, which can be pictures or, you know, the real estate information, whatever the case may be. So you don't have to have a 10-foot by 8-foot section of this thing, the sign. I mean, you can get creative, and I don't think there's any, I don't think it's gonna limit it that much. And most of the properties that you're gonna have this kind of thing on are not, you know, 200 feet of frontage or whatever, where they're gonna screen this whole thing in anyway. I mean, so anyway, I think it'll work, but if you wanna change the numbers, by all means.
Well, just about nothing else.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's okay. Well, there's going to be more discussion of this at our next meeting.
Okay.
So, you want to touch on the last piece?
Well, the other one, we just increased it from 16 to 32 feet because we're concerned about the legal ramifications. So that's a sheet of plywood for a political sign.
Oh, a political sign.
Okay.
Right, because, I mean, theoretically, it wouldn't meet the stringent tense of the Supreme Court, but I don't know how many political signs would end up in the industrial zone. So 99% of them are residential zone, it would meet the standard or along the commercial area, but you're allowed to have a 60 square foot, what is it, an industrial?
Yeah.
So this is at least, you know, and if we ever got sued, we'd have to mitigate it, but I think for the 99% of the community, that would be, what you've seen out there already from time to time. Somebody puts a big giant, you know, elect so-and-so sign up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that, you know, and then the rest can wait till the next meeting.
All right, let's,
Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Can I just go back to something we left the construction strain? Can you leave it in my hands where it's proportionate to the site and I make the decision?
That's fine if you're gonna be here forever.
The wording, wording will have on
it. So
about 10 years. Guys.
Right.
Subject to building inspector.
Yeah, exactly. There will be wording in there.
We'll throw out something at the next meeting and we can kick it around.
Okay.
Let's go get some pictures of really nice.
Yeah, exactly.
First item on the next agenda will be the signed bylaw. Then we'll move up. I'm sorry, Tony's piece, then the sign, then we'll bring up the commuter and business parking.
If we're ready, yep.
Okay, yeah, if we're ready.
Just in time.
And if there are more, Ryan, if we have more individual, the lot cleaned up. If there are more of those, let's just keep going with that and
sure.
Get a lot of these cleaned up.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
No.
Next meeting will be October 3rd, 5:45.
Motion to
please?
What do I say?
Adjourn.
Adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
Not debatable. All those in favor, signify by
the aye.
Let's
go see the truck.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you like this, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.